This is WNEW-FM, New York City.
Faded out a little bit, or it went under. And what did we hear?
You heard something something like this in those days.
Hi, everybody.
Cousin. Makes me laugh when I do that. This is your cousin, Greasy. Hi, everybody. Listen, I hope everybody's feeling terrific. I had a great time last week at Palisades Amusement Park. This Saturday, it's going to be Chubby Checker, Fats Domino, Tony Bennett. You know who he is, kids? Tony Bennett will be there, too. And it's going to be a terrific thing. Right now, let's get right to our music. This goes out to Johnny and Paul, Sally and Susie, and Jimmy and Suzanne. Going steady for 4 months. Going steady for 4 months. Isn't that fantastic? Here's Chuck Berry on the Brucey Ferry Maybelline.
Maybelline, why can't you be true?
I'll give you a Cousin Brucey prediction.
Okay.
Within 50 years, babies will be born with a little black box on the right side of their head that says Made in Taiwan, 8 transistors. My point is, radio is not a luxury. Radio is a necessity. It's part of life. It's day-to-day. It's real. It's alive. And that's what I fight to keep radio. I'm very sad about WABC because, you know, let's face it, it's an end of an era.
Did you hear the last few days and the last... I'll tell you, I thought for the last few months anyway, I guess when the disc jockeys and the announcers realized that the change was going to come down, I tell you, that station sounded great for the last few months. They were playing music you hadn't heard. They
everybody
wouldn't
was
touch
trying.
In years. And,
but Dan, I, you know, knowing Dan, Dan was a little sad. I know, and Ron was sad. And everybody was counting the days. It was a count. And also, we emotionalized when we listened to it. I mean, let's face it, my life was a nuts. That was the greatest time of my life.
How long were you there?
13 and a half years, about 13 and a half years. And we had one heck of a party when it went off the air. It was really terrific. So I'm very sad today. I'm angry, as most of you know, you're reading the press and watching television. I've taken a very interesting stand, which I don't want to get into here because I know there's a memory bank that we're doing here. And I'm just disappointed that this kind of radio has been poo-pooed by the so-called great executives.
The great executives are saying that music on AM radio is over, it's dead.
Which, well, now you hit a very bad bone because that's the thing that got me crazy and that's the thing that brought all the TV crews down to see Cousin Brucey. If they would have let that alone, I would have been angry and sad, but not upset. They've upset me. AM radio today, the quality of AM radio when it leaves my radio station is excellent. We do not have stereo right now. As you know, there's a big thing going on with stereo right now. I think we're down to 18 systems or something, so we're all waiting to see what happens. But, you know, stereo is very nice, and you have a magnificent station. WNEW-FM is a, you know, it's a legend. There's no doubt about it. Scotty's done a great job, and all you guys are, but it's not that you're stereo. It's not that you're as clean as heck with the quality of your sound. It's that you gave the people a good bowl of cereal to listen to. Cracker Jacks are great. You don't have to give a person a prize in a box. I always said I love Cracker Jacks. I'd buy without the prize. Who needs the prize? So my point is, if you give people good radio, if you give good radio, you're part of the point, right? Like that little joke. they're going to listen.
Was there any point in time where you were there where you started thinking, this is going to end?
Yes. Yeah. Ben and I both knew this. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Scotty knew, too, before he left there. He left a little early because we were still doing very well when Scott left. I started seeing this thing happening in the 70s. It's like watching an old aunt get sick and leaving her in the chair and not giving her any medicine. That's what happened. They started bringing guys in from California and guys mm-hmm. in from Dallas, and they started with these geniuses that live in Dallas and with the computers. Mm-hmm. You can't do that in New York. New York City is a living, live, it's an organ. You know, it's a huge, volatile, dynamic, living thing. And you just can't go to a computer readout and the thing says, boop, 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 play this, play this. You know, you can't do that. Hey, when I'm on the air, I know if the Lincoln Tunnel's crowded. I know if that guy in the toll booth has a stomachache. I know when Mayor Koch had a headache. And I used to talk to him on the air. I knew who was missing. I helped the police. I knew if a toothpaste tasted good, I'd tell people. You know, that's what radio is. It's alive and dynamic. And they just didn't understand it. So over the last decade, the 70s, they let this slip. They got too darn involved in being number one, worried about being number one. Instead of watching their own backyard and doing the best creative radio they can do, maintaining what they were doing, reestablishing WABC as a live, people, one-to-one type medium, they let it go. They were too worried about FM coming in. Sure, FM was coming in. But why does everybody have to be number one? Why can't you do the best you can do and be creative? See, once you get afraid, you cannot be creative. You get fear, you're finished, you're done. And that's it degenerated. It was not a natural thing. It could have been helped.
I think a lot of creativity lies in the opportunity to make a mistake.
Yes. Sometimes I go on the air and I'll do things where I'll make a mistake, I'll make the wrong judgment, and I say to myself, oh my God, Rick Sklar's going to call me any minute. Then I say, wait a minute, I own this, I'm the boss. Why not make mistakes? We used to make so many mistakes. You know, that's what made us so human. That's what made the success of that radio station. But I can tell you stories.
There was one day when Bruce Meyer came into the studio, and I was doing the weather forecast.
Dan Ingram.
And we have what has since been called the brief showers incident, and it sounded like this.
Brief shower, thunder shower this evening. I love brief showers. They're fun. Watch them briefs coming down. Cloudy with fog. Let me see those. At least they're coming to Brad. This is Cousin Bruce Morrow wears Jackie classic briefs. He just threw a dozen of them at me. Where were we?
We're not on the air now.
Yeah, isn't it wonderful? Gee, what people would think with you with Jackie shorts there and all that. I don't know. They may have been another brand. I don't know. But then, they smell new. Cloudy with fog tonight. Temperatures in the mid-70s. Partly cloudy, warm, and humid Saturday. Your image is gone, Bruce. They know what you really are. Showers likely towards the evening tomorrow. Temperatures in the 80s. Cloudy with chance of rain Saturday night and Sunday. I surrender.
I think one of the greatest, well, it was maybe a blooper, a disaster, to show you the power of that radio station. Rick Sklar and I were walking one day, we had lunch, and this is the beginning of the kite craze in the United States. Everybody was flying kites. You remember that? About late 60s or early 70s, something. And we decided to have a WABC kite flying contest in Central Park. So I called the mayor, he's a good friend of mine, and he said, sure, whatever you want, Bruce, just be out of there by noon or something, you know, that type of thing, and keep it clean. So we gave $100 for the biggest kite, $100 for the smallest kite, $100 for the most unique kite. You know, that's what we used to do. Mm-hmm. The biggest kite, by the way, this is a great story, which I'll never believe to this day, and Sklar and I looked at it, we got a story, was a replica, a actual scale replica of the flight of the Kitty Hawk, or the,
Wright Brothers.
The Wright Brothers airplane. They built the kite, and some man was flying it. I said, well, anyway, here's the bit. To show you the power of this radio station and a blooper, we did not realize what we were going to cause. Rick and I got down there at 9 o'clock in the morning. The judging was supposed to start for four prizes. It started at 11 o'clock or something. The sky was literally so full. It's not just a story. It's so full of kites, we couldn't see the sky. He and I looked at each other, and we sort of shook our heads and said we were in severe trouble. And we made an announcement quickly, and we left. We got a lot of trouble in that one. There's a blooper. Not realizing the fearsome power of a radio station like WABC. Mm-hmm. Why should this happen? Why? Because people enjoyed it.
What's happening over there?
77.
Come on, honey. ABC. Slow and laughing and carrying on and all. Come on already here.
ridiculous.
Now stop it, Phyllis.
You're listening to a salute to Music Radio, WABC, with love from NEWFM.
Serving New York and America with music in tempo with today. You latched on to Radio 77, WABC. The Springer in New York town. The only station with young ideas for New York.
Hot shots in town, and we were active and always got around, so certainly the phenomena we knew about, and the very first arrival in our area of the Beatles was out at the airport, and I went out to cover their arrival. Now, you know, the concert was not on yet or anything, but they had flown in, and they hustled them through a corridor and into a room where they were going to meet the press. But in coming through the corridor, the teeny bopper girls broke loose from a theater-type roping, red roping, knocked that over. And I was in the crowd coming from the plane with them, and so I was mauled. I mean, it was ridiculous. I had a beautiful overcoat on. It was cold. It got ripped right off, got ripped to shreds. And it was pandemonium, but it was that way everywhere they went. Their thing was the first idol type affair that the American teenagers had had in a long time. You know, prior to that, there was always a guy coming along, and there was an Elvis, and there was a Frankie Avalon, there was a Fabian. Nothing quite like this in a group, and each girl's focusing on whichever one they really were into, or all of them as such. And of course, they had the haircuts that the American boys didn't have. So, wow, all this going for them. From there, back to the hotel, and in the limos, and the screaming, and the yelling, and the panic when they went in the hotel on Park Avenue. One female type grabbed Ringo's St. Christopher medal from his neck, ripped it off, and ran down the street with it. And the next day, well, we talked about it on the air, and the next day she showed up, and she had the St. Christopher's medal that his grandmother had given him, and it wasn't the value of the medal so much as the, you know, family heirloom type. So she showed up and she had it, and Ringo thanked her, and she got tickets to the concert and an autographed album and so forth. And I must say this, the disappointing thing about the Beatles, after all the hoopla and they finally got here, alone as they were trapped and imprisoned in their hotel rooms, not being able to walk down the street, not being able to do anything, was their pale, white complexions. I mean, each one of them looked to me as if they had been in a hospital. And I guess this whole urgency of what happened and how they just blew up into these fantastic stars, they were tired and they were pale. And to see them later, as each year went on, and to follow them and see how much better they looked, it was really incredible. One other thing about the Beatles and the stay in the hotel, is people don't think about that, but when you're in a hotel, might be like a hospital, only it's a lot more comfortable, and everything's brought to your room. A person who has wanderlust isn't going to stay in that hotel. And Mr. Lennon was the wanderlust, because John left that hotel dressed as an old lady, and he went out on the town as an old lady with a cane and a wig and the makeup and the whole thing. John snuck around a little. I think Paul may have gotten out, too. The rest of them were afraid to do anything. It was amazing because we were in this hotel, Park Avenue, literally for about two or three blocks was wall-to-wall young females, and some males too, and they were all listening to the station. We were in a room adjacent to the floor where the Beatles were on, and we had our setup in the room, and we had our microphones in there, of course, and so I just opened the window once, and I said, you know, any window that opened, my God, I mean, the crowd went bananas, berserk, thinking it might be one of the Beatles or something. So I held the microphone down there and asked them, you know, I said, okay, can you hear us? Or here? Okay, now we want, we even had them sing Happy Birthday to the president at the time, and they did that, because it was his birthday that day, and we had them do just everything. They were doing jingles, they were singing I Love You, Yeah, Yeah, anything you asked them to do, they did it. They were tuned in. Everybody didn't have a radio, but enough people did so that it was a solid sound at the station. And it was frightening. It really was frightening.
And while you're in such a great mood, while that crowd is in such a great mood, Big Dan, out yeah. on Park Avenue, well, we dearly love them.
Yeah.
Scotso's here with Cousin Brucey, and Dan, you're right there. Let's have a little sing-along with all the crowd out there. Everybody yeah. stand by. We want you to sing along to a few of our All-American jingles. Let's live it up.
All right, can I sing along with the one about the team first?
We Let's all ready? Do the team. Everybody stand by and listen and sing along to our team jingle.
All right, here we go. Sing along. Time we play a different jingle for them?
Yeah, they'll try it again. They're great. We love them.
Let's go with another jingle.
Let's go with another one, Dan.